Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We've seen the headlines over the years about problematic police, traffic stops, and drivers of color, especially black males. Well, Montgomery County Council Member Will Jawando has introduced a bill to address racial disparities in those traffic stops. What's behind the bill? Will it work? Well, joining me is Montgomery County Council Member at Large, Will Jawando. Also in studio with me, former County Police Lieutenant Dr. Dimitri Cornegay. He is also founder of teen mentoring organization Men Under Construction. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Councilmember Jawando, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And Dr. Cornegay, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, sir.
Councilmember, talk to me about this bill. What is the genesis of it? And just kind of give us a thumbnail sketch of it.
Sure. So it's called the Safety and Traffic Equity in Policing, or STEP Act. It's aimed at doing two things: focusing our police on the most urgent traffic needs, reckless driving, DUI, speeding, the things that are harming folks in our community, and addressing racial disparities in traffic stops, which you and the lead-in talked about has been a pervasive problem in this country and in our county and region as well. I commissioned a study from the Office of Legislative Oversight in the county 2 years ago. They updated it recently. Shows that 30% of the traffic stops last year were of black residents, even though we account 18% of the population. 43% of the searches of vehicles were of black residents. Again, 18% of the population. There are also some disparities for Latino drivers. White drivers actually are pulled over less than their percentage of the population. And these stops have a corrosive effect on community trust and relationship with police, and are not producing more safety. So this bill would prohibit, as a primary offense, stops for a air freshener, a minor obstruction in the windshield, a taillight that's out, a registration sticker that's overdue. Those would no longer be able to be primary offenses for pulling someone over. If you pull someone over for a moving violation, say speeding, and they have a registration or one of these other minor issues, you can still ticket for those, but it can't be the primary offense. And this is, the goal is to reduce these interactions that have a corrosive effect and really don't produce safety.
Yesterday, this is what Chief Marcus Jones, the Montgomery County Police Chief, had to say about this bill. He's not a fan.
For us to then be hindered by people who have suspended license, who are driving without insurance, and all of the other aspects of this bill, I think it just lends us to not be in a safe place, and I think it's bad legislation.
How do you respond to what the chief is saying, council member?
Well, I just don't think it bears out in the data or the lived experience. You know, if you look at, if someone is doing unsafe on the roads, a moving violation, that they should be pulled over, and this would allow police to focus on that. If you look at everything from when guns and drugs are recovered, they're not for these low-level stopping offenses. We had 200 guns recovered last year out of 40,000 traffic stops, less than 0.5% of the time, and they were not for these type of offenses. And I just think it's just not correct. I think you've seen this in other places. Even the state of Virginia has a similar law that's been in effect. The city of Memphis is considering it after the death of Tyree Nichols, state of Washington. There are other places that are moving in this direction. And again, it's about focusing our police on those traffic violations. I think with automation, I'm also talking to our ticket folks who put tickets out. There's a lot of these things that can still be covered by automation and reduce those interactions that have a corrosive effect on, President Biden talked about this for 5 minutes in a State of the Union, and it talked about the talk that black families have to have with their children. And he said he never had to do that. And that's a real thing. And we're already seeing that since I introduced it earlier this week, people responding to that.
Dr. Cornegay, you are not a fan of this legislation. What is wrong with it as an officer, as a retired officer? Why can't this be done?
Well, and thanks again for having me, and I'm glad I have the chance to have this exchange.
Sure.
The good councilman speaks on how, as far as he can see, it hasn't produced anything safely by just stopping someone for having a tag light out, a headlight out. But have you done any studies to see how many crimes were avoided by a police officer taking an opportunity to stop someone for having bad tags, for having a tail light out? You know, usually, and I got to be honest with you, I just spoke to an officer not too long ago who said there was someone who had extra tint on their vehicle, and that tint, when it got pulled over, revealed that they had 17 vials of fentanyl in it. Now, see, if you're going to try to do this, what you need to do is remember that, and I agree, there is racism everywhere in America. America likes to color its criminals black, particularly moving, driving while black. It's ridiculous to even try to suggest that that doesn't happen, given all these studies and whatnot. But instead of, we got to look at the fact that when you have the wrong people being held responsible for enforcing the law, you don't change the law, you change the people. You train the individuals so they can actually see, number one, like they don't want to do in Florida, like they don't want to do in Georgia, like they don't want to do in Texas. They don't want to learn about in Virginia, like about what happened to black people and why are black people always your number one suspect, the usual suspects. Now, that's not to say black folks don't do things. And you also have to look at the fact that a lot of times people are worried about black people trying to rob them. But that doesn't take away from the fact that police officers who are supposed to represent the law do not have largesse to just stop black people and nobody else. And if you have good training, then you don't have that.
Well, let me ask this. I mean, Councilmember Jawando, is there a possible compromise? And this is what I mean. If someone is pulled over for, a broken or inoperable taillight, if they have a tag that is a license plate tag that is expired a couple of days or, you know, within a 30-day period, is it possible that an officer could, you know, you pull the person over, you know, license and registration, if the license isn't suspended, registration, you know, may be in order, but the tag is expired, can you give them a warning? Can you say, hey, look, take the fuzzy dice off of your rearview mirror and, you know, here's a warning, you know, no ticket, and keep it moving. Is that a possibility? Is that a compromise that you would entertain? Or do you just believe that these kinds of stops just don't help?
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I always, by nature, I'm always looking to compromise. And this bill will go through the legislative process and we will have the discussions. But again, I just don't think this is an effective use of police officer time. In addition to having serious racial disparities and devaluing of particularly black people in these and many of these stops. And if you look at the data, there's just no evidence that stopping someone for a low-level offense, it's like a needle in the haystack. It's you could stop anyone. Our traffic laws are such that you could stop almost anyone at any time if you followed them for a number of minutes. And what happens disproportionately to black people and other communities of color is they are stopped the most. They get the most tickets. They get the most fines. They have to sit on the side of the road while a police officer searches their car for an hour, finds nothing, and then they have to go home demoralized. 43% of the searches in Montgomery County last year were of black residents. That we are 18% of the population. It's a systemic structural issue. It's not even about individual racism from officers. It's just the way we have come up, the history of this country, it is leading to disproportionate contact and not producing any more safety.
How do you know that, sir? I got to ask, how do you know that?
Yeah.
I got to ask, how do you know? Did you do any studies? Did you carry your study further to see when they made those stops, how many of those stops actually became arrests? And I got to go, let's go back for a moment. I know, Harold, you might not remember because you're...
Go ahead.
But the idea is this. When you first got your driver's license, they told you the first line in it was, driving is a privilege, not a right. And you are going to be able to drive, at least in the state of, I'm from D.C., and I live in Maryland. So both those places told you that, told you exactly that, and they told you that you are going. There are rules and laws you're going to have to follow if you're going to be allowed the privilege to drive on our streets. And that means you're going to have registered car, a car that's registered properly. You're going to have, and I'll be the first to admit, in Maryland, you have what's known as equipment repair orders. That lets you in the car. Police officers know that, yeah, that gives us a one-up. If your tag light is out, yeah, we get to stop you. Why do they do that? Because in Maryland, unlike Virginia and D.C., they don't have annual vehicle inspections. The only time they inspect a vehicle is when you're selling the car. So that means when you can drive a car and you have those one-eyed monsters, you know, one headlight out, tail light out, tag light out. The only way you're going to have be forced to change that is when a police officer stops you and issues you what's known as an ERO, an equipment repair order. And then that way, that's how it starts. Yeah, that lets us in, especially if you're in an area where there's high crime. It gives you the opportunity to stop this person and find out who it is and make sure they have the right to have that vehicle. Then it becomes proactive. How you want, you know, no one's dialing 911 to say they're having a great day. We accept that. And when the police come in, they're coming in to change things, to make things better for, presumably, the people that they're working with. Now, there's going to have to be a lot of changing and training. That's what I'm calling for, training, but not changing the laws.
I would just say again, in a perfect world, Dr. Cornegate, yes. Every police officer is well-intentioned, and I do understand what Councilmember Jawando is saying, particularly as, you know, for young men and old men of color. I'm one of them. I've been stopped. Don't like it. Don't want a ticket. But I think that there just appears to be, because at the same time, no. I don't want to be driving around and think there's a motorcycle behind me when there's a car without a headlight, with one headlight out. You know, I don't want to see a car that's in front of me with, without one of its brake lights, because, yeah, that's problematic for me when I'm driving 50 miles home every day, at night. Certainly, I don't want to have any of those encounters with police officers. But I think the reality is, and we know this, having, done this job for many, many decades, sometimes those police stops, council member, you end up, you pull somebody over for a, whether it's a pine air freshener or a tag, and they got a dead body in the trunk, or they've got illegal guns or something like that. I mean, I say that tongue in cheek, but I think that that is a reality.
Sure. Well, if you stopped anyone randomly, you could find that. Mm-hmm. I just think that there is no correlation between an air freshener and a dead body in the car. I mean, and to suggest that, I think is, but you get
my point. You pull somebody over. Yeah. And your driver's license is suspended, or maybe you have a warrant.
Exactly.
Yes. And this is, here's the thing. This is, it's akin to this, and we're having a national discussion about how do we reform policing. And yes. I agree with my colleague here about training better, hiring better people, training them better, screening them better. Is a big part of it. And I introduced and passed the Community Informed Police Training Act to diversify who we could bring in, to add more training around social justice and de-escalation and communication skills. And I think that's a big part of it. But another big part of it is changing what we do, what police are asked to do. And right now we've asked police to do too much. We've asked them to be mental health professionals. We've asked them to deal with homelessness. We've asked them to stop people for low-level traffic offenses. We've asked them to be in the schools, things that they're not best positioned to do. I think most people want police to focus on violent crime, on carjackings, on speeding and reckless driving. And again, if anyone's doing those things, by all means, stop them and ticket them for whatever else is going on. But I just think that when we have a problem that's spelled out in the data as it is, they could be spending their time on more things that produce more safety.
Well, I got to ask.
Hold on.
Let me say last thing.
I was going to say, I've got to take a break. I know you're scheduled to leave at 7:30. Can you give me 5 more minutes?
You got 5 more minutes.
Thank you. I appreciate that. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about social justice and police stops. A bill to address racial disparities in those police traffic stops has been introduced in the Montgomery County Council. We'll continue this conversation in just a few seconds. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This conversation will continue in just a few seconds. By the way, Lisa calling from Gaithersburg, you're next. Don't hang up. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about racial disparities in police traffic stops. My guests are Montgomery County Councilmember-at-Large Will Jawando and former Montgomery County Police Lieutenant Dr. Dimitri Cornegay. He's also founder of the teen mentoring organization Men Under Construction. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lisa, quickly, calling from Gaithersburg. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I want to thank Council Member Jawando for introducing this legislation. It is definitely needed in Montgomery County. I think what the doctor is beginning is that there are times when these stops or the false pretenses used to harass black people. I am one. Had I not called my attorney, I probably would have had an incident with the police. She pulled me over under a false pretense. When she walked into the car, I had my attorney on the phone, and I think that was what deterred her. That I'm urging African Americans, Latinos in this county, people of color, to get behind this bill because, as Councilmember Jawando said, the data is there. For the doctor, I ask you and whatever organization you represent or the Fraternal Order of Police to commission a study that disputes the data that Councilmember Jawando is using to support his legislation. And if it is shown that pulling over someone on Montgomery Village Avenue, which happens 9 times out of 10 that I'm going down the street, catches someone with the body in the trunk, then crime should be going down in Montgomery County.
Okay.
And that is not the case.
Lisa, thank you so much. Councilmember, you want to quickly respond to what Lisa just said?
Well, I appreciate it, Lisa, and it's I think it's emblematic of what's happening in our community. The one thing about policing is that it's experienced very differently if you're African American or person of color or if you're white, and that's why the president spent 5 minutes on it in his State of the Union. I'll give you another stat from this study that I put out. If you're an African American, you are 7 times more likely to be pulled over in Bethesda, which is 80% white, the western part of our county, than a white person, who are 80% of that population. It just shows that we have systemic issues, and that's why we have to limit, I think, these interactions that aren't producing safety. If someone is doing something dangerous on the roads, pull them over. But if they have a busted taillight, we have automation. We're looking into moving certain things to our DOT and having our people who issue parking tickets issue registration violations. I'm not saying we shouldn't have these things addressed. I just don't think police are the proper tool given this data.
Dr. Cornegay, I was going to say, what about that? You know,
okay, well,
if my tag is expired, mm-hmm. I'm going to get a warning in the mail. Maybe I should get two. Maybe I should get three instead of having the police deal with it.
The good lady Lisa, okay, false pretenses, not quite. Most police officers that I know about, and I only did it for 31 years, actually, we pull people over and you pull them over, you explain to why you pulled them over. There's training that is done now. That having been said, you know, you talked about, we'll get further down the road with that, but I'll deal with the council member now. He's talking about the president spent 5 minutes with it. Well, I've been a black man for 67 years, and I know that I've had to deal with all these sorts of things, and my parents had to talk with me as well as I've had to talk, and we're having to talk with my grandsons and everyone else. That doesn't change the fact that you have the chance you're going to run into the wrong people. But that doesn't take away, you shouldn't be taking away the law and fooling with the laws. You fool with the people who are actually in charge of enforcing those laws. So they will know how to deal with people. That's what we do in Men Under Construction. We, on April 1st, we always invite, and we've been doing this since 1992, the last 31 years, we invite all the chiefs of police in the area. And we have them sit and talk to young black males. They don't cover it in the news. I don't know why. But they and the question is, why do you chase us? Why do you run? and you have both people, both mm-hmm. sides sitting there talking to each other, and they all, both sides come away with a totally different viewpoint. If you had the chance to sit down and talk to each other and find out, here's what I heard about y'all. Well, here's what I heard about y'all. And I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I've got to let the council member go. He gave us that extra five minutes, and I appreciate it. He was supposed to leave at 7:30, but we will continue to follow this story, council member. I appreciate you coming on. I know the hearings will begin in June, and we will continue to have our ears to the ground as far as that's concerned. I will just say drive safely.
Yeah, I appreciate that, and I appreciate the doctor and his work on mentoring, and look forward to connecting in the future. Thank you for having me.
All right, thank you so much. Please continue with your point about men under construction, because I did want to give you an opportunity to talk specifically about the kinds of conversation mm-hmm. that you have with these teenagers about interactions with police.
Thanks, Harold. I mean, to be honest, it started, we're talking about crime now. This started way back in 1992 when crack was all over D.C., as you remember. And it was disturbing me because I was on the SWAT team, one of the main things I had done when I was working with Montgomery County Police Department. And it disturbed me that we were locking up these kids because that wasn't the time to talk to them when they're getting ready to be arrested. So rather than do that, I tried to figure out what could we do to stop this. And I realized and remembered that our Jewish brothers and sisters have bat mitzvah and bar mitzvah. You teach people how to become adults in this particular society. If you saw the movie Roots, based on Alex Haley's book, Kunta Kinte, when he reached a certain age, was sent away to man camp, and they learned how to be men. And why not do the same thing here? That's one of the things that our particular culture have been taken away from us. So why not sit down with young black males when they reach a certain age of maturity and teach them about how they present themselves, how they look to other people? We talk about media. We talk about dealing with authority figures. Once again, chiefs of police. Because there is an adversarial position, and it goes back to, historically speaking, let's face it, the police were the slave catchers. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that's why we didn't dig them. That's why we still don't dig them that much now. Mm-hmm. Not enough has been done to actually build a bridge between them and us. So do you notice how you have black people always being victimized by other black people, and then get victimized by police too? And it's even worse when it's Tennessee, when you have police officers who are black victimizing a young man who keeps asking all the time, what did I do? That's ridiculous. And what we do at Men Under Construction is try to build the strength so you don't succumb to peer pressure, because that's all it is peer pressure. To make, we got to have what I call an adult in the room.
I agree with that, but I will say, again, the adversarial issue can often be, problematic mm-hmm. because, yes, if an officer pulls you over, and this also has to do with the talk 2.0 or 3.0 exactly. or whatever it is, where obviously police will ask you, license and registration.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us will say, well, what did I do? Well, they're going to tell you.
Exactly.
They are going
to tell you.
They may not tell you right away.
And that's a problem that those police departments have to clean up. In Montgomery County, when I was there anyway, you always say, you know why I stopped you? And then you tell them why you stopped me, because that developed my probable cause to pull you over.
And I think also, dealing with that adversarial issue, because, some people would argue, take the ticket and fight it in court
right.
instead of selling wolf tickets. And end up getting a beat down, right or wrong.
You're not going to settle it on the side of the road at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Let me go to the phone lines. We got a lot of people who want to speak out on this. Let's go to Steve calling from Maryland. Steve, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you gentlemen doing this evening? How's
all right, sir.
Just fine. Go right ahead.
Headed to the Howard Gang. Go Bison.
who they playing tonight?
for the championship.
Norfolk State?
The season of the mayor. Yes.
Get out of here.
Go Bison. The gentleman said he worked for Montgomery Police.
So that's correct.
He's retired. He's retired, but go ahead.
Oh, retired. Exactly. So he's good friends with Captain Sonia, who I'm sure will be at the game.
Yes.
I'm good friends with him.
She used to be a major at the
game. Okay, Steve, enough of the sports exactly. report. Make your point, buddy.
Exactly. Sorry about that. So I live in PG, mm-hmm. socialize in D.C. a lot,
mm-hmm.
but work in Montgomery County over 15 years.
Okay.
Probably of the 12 times I've been pulled over in my adult life,
mm-hmm.
10 of them have been in Montgomery County. on that stretch, like you say, from Bethesda up towards Shady Grove. So that's number one. And number two, a lot of facts or statistics you put out to me seem very off base. Number one, the police didn't derive from slave masters. They derived from the Ku Klux Klan. So when you talk about change, you're talking a lot of superficial changes. We need to stop people from pulling over because, as the gentleman who left the conversation said, all studies in almost every area, including Montgomery County, show that we are disproportionately pulled over. So that's not good policing. I understand in policing that pulling over reveals other important things.
I'm not denying that fact.
Well, see, let me ask you this. If your license plate, if your sticker has expired,
okay.
Should you cut me off on my show?
only because you said that a few times.
Yeah, I mean, because that's one of the things, Steve, because I can silence you. So listen. That is one of the issues that is brought up in the bill. When he's talking about, you know, you don't have to be moving. He's talking about some of these, issues. Your tag could be expired. Your light could be out. My question to you is, let me just take the issue of the tag. If your tag is expired and you're on the road, do you think you should be pulled over?
It's almost like the death penalty for me. I don't believe in it because we're disproportionately on death row.
It's
the same thing with being pulled over. I don't believe so because the gentleman is talking about the law, and somebody in this that might have been you said about an even playing field. If the playing field was even, I might agree. But because we know by facts and by experiences as being a black man, no, I don't agree with it.
I was talking about a possible compromise in the bill, but go ahead.
Can I say this last?
Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick, because the gentleman also says that we need to change the people and some of the procedures, not necessarily what the councilman was saying, but understand something. The biggest change to me in policing stems from that we get military people, and mainly we get people who are infantry, either in the Army or in the Marines. We don't get the scientists or the doctors or the nurses. And so I say that to say, I was in the service, so I give all much respect to their service, but infantry people and Marines are taught to kill.
Okay, well, may I speak to that, sir? Because my father was a police officer.
See, let me have Dr. Cornegay respond, and thank you so much. Go right ahead, Dr.
My father was a police officer. My father was a police officer. He was a captain when he died in 1975 with Metropolitan Police Department. And he took on the job after serving in the military after he graduated from North Carolina A&T State University in 1956. Yeah, go Aggie Pride. He came and he wanted to be a doctor, but he couldn't be one, because his parents didn't have the money to do that. So what he did was he came up there and he was one of the first recruits, actually black police officers, in the police academy and for the District of Columbia. And followed by him was my Uncle James, who became a sergeant, my cousin Zeke, who became a lieutenant. We are the Blue Bloods. I have a daughter who's an attorney, and a son, and a nephew, George Brian Vaughn, who's actually an attorney himself. So you talk about Blue Bloods, we are the actual Blue Bloods. And what we've seen, things weren't fair. To make the change and to make the positive change, these people work within the system. Now, what you're suggesting is changing a law that would allow a lot of people to get away with a lot of crimes only because somebody stopped. And I have to ask you this. If you want to have, like the councilman said, someone who is just going to, an unarmed individual to pull somebody over who has an expired tag, they're going to be unarmed. You want your son or your daughter to be the one to pull them over when they could be carrying that body that Harold was talking about in Trump?
I think, Steve, that's the issue that I was bringing up in the beginning of the conversation, is that there may need, the bill as it stands, and there are going to be public hearings, but maybe there will be compromises or middle grounds for these kinds of things, because the council member does, there's no doubt, and Dr. Cornegay you know, he agreed. Yeah, there is racism. There's racism in policing. We know that.
And I like a lot of what he's saying.
Yeah.
However, to me, his points are so small. Like, he's saying someone get pulled over, and all of a sudden it's going to create a whole mass of crime because we didn't pull a certain person over. And it's just like he said to me, it was a small point there where he said, we should have a program to mentor black men. Well, that makes the assumption that the white men are already above board and trained.
No, it doesn't.
And mentored.
No, it's we're teaching. No, no, sir. That's not what we do. That never started that. What we did when we started this particular program was to have young men who would go forward and would not be put in jail because we know the deck is stacked against us as it is. And when we come forward, we teach our young men to respect themselves, and you show the respect that you have for yourself by showing the respect you have to other people. And the idea is to survive a traffic stop. And we talk them through, and we have police officers, police chiefs, the boss of the people that they're likely to run into, who actually say, this is what you should do, young man, when you get pulled over. Now, it means something when you got the chief of police and a police officer pulls you over, and you say, well, your chief told me this. Wait a minute. When did you talk to my chief?
Yeah.
And that's different.
Steve, I got to let you go to the game, but I appreciate your phone call. Drive safely. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Sylvester calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Sylvester. What's on your mind? Sylvester, are you there? Give me a call back if you can. Big J calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Is it Big J?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just want to mention something because I get pulled over last time just for license plate light, because this license plate have two lights. Mm-hmm. One go up and I get pulled over. After he's be behind me for 5 minutes and he pulled me over and he said, oh, you know why I pulled you over for? I said, no. He said, oh, your license plate is off. I said, oh, license plate light? He said, yes, it's two. He said, one go off. I said, oh, okay. Can I replace it right away as I have in my car? He said, no, I have to give you warning. I said, okay. And the same time, one vehicle was coming with one headlight off. And then I said, sir, do you see this car is coming with one light, a headlight off? Can you stop him? And stop me. I can wait for you. You can stop him.
How is he going to do that?
You can teach me something. I said, okay. So now you want to give me warning? And he gave me warning. And then I said, but you give me this paper. Just for small light that can replace front of you, just light less than 5 minutes, and you give me this paper, and you let all I want go. Who pay for this paper, sir?
That you make an interesting point, Big J, because that on the surface, yeah, that seems a little petty.
Mm-hmm.
It really does, and I would be annoyed, but I'm definitely not an expert in police procedure, but here's my question, and I think this goes to the heart of what Big J is experiencing, Dr. Cornegay. Can you let somebody go without writing it up? I mean, could he have pulled Big J over and said, without seeing your license or your license plate light is out, the next one could go out. Mm-hmm. Just get that taken care of. Have a nice night. Or are there procedures that say once you pull somebody over, you've got to record it?
Well, you've got two schools of thought there. Number one, some people are so scared of a Department of Justice investigation that when you pull people over, they actually have you write down why you pulled them over and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, and we've seen that because exactly. The District of Columbia had mm-hmm. to deal with that a while back.
Exactly. Or they can have a situation depending upon the relationship they have with the supervisor. I'm not going to lie to you. It's like, listen, just get out of here and make sure it gets taken care of. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, as we spoke before, it depends on the story you give when you pull over. You know why I pulled you over? If somebody's speeding and racing, but you pull up beside them and say, what's the problem? Why are you speeding? My wife's having a baby. We got somebody bleeding in the car, this, that, the other. Most mm-hmm. of the time, you get a police escort okay. to the hospital, and they'll say, follow me, and they hit the lights and siren. But it depends on the story that you provide. It's not always write a citation. Now, I know because of the adversarial position that exists between police departments and people of color, it's going to be a little bit different. But because you got a chip on your shoulder. But the thing is, you need the police to be able to be more aware of what it is to be black in this country or what it is not to be the majority in this country. And you need the people that are people of color to understand these people want to go home, too. And every time, like we talked about, every time you come to work, how would you feel if every time you came to work, you heard who got killed? Officers killed summary. They have every time a police officer reports in for duty, they have what's known as roll call. And during roll call, there's an officer's killed summary, how that officer died. And that's going to be, whether they want to admit it or not, is in the back of your head all the time. It's like, could this be the one that they try to get me? Could this be? And too many people put that chip on the shoulder unnecessarily. You got to be, but, and people will ask. I'm not going to lie. They're going to ask, well, they don't like me. They don't want me here anyway. They don't like me. You know, you hear that a lot. But the thing is, when they came to me and said that, I said, well, that's what makes you professional. Because you're supposed to come and do that job regardless of what you're doing. I don't know what the other departments have. And like I said, I come from a family of police officers in New York and whatnot. But in Montgomery County, they have a code of honor. And what you're supposed to do with that code of honor is, you know, and I brought it so you can see it. I'm a Montgomery County police officer and officer of the law. To me, it's entrusted the honor of the department. I must serve honestly, faithfully, and if need be, lay down my life as others have before me. In other words, and everybody, that's drummed into your head as a rookie. Now, do you forget that? No, you don't. And sooner or later, and I've been in internal affairs too, you sit down and you discuss that as well. And you have to be the point, there's going to be that point where you have to be your own man or woman and say, we're going to do it right. We're going to, and I don't care where you are, you're going to do it
right. And again, and Big J, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you. But not everybody's going to do it right.
No,
and
they're
I think
not.
We're not talking about those that are going to do it right. I have been very fortunate. In the times that I've been pulled over by police, I've had good, you know, interaction with it. I've told this story many times on this program, or not recently, when I lived in Columbus, Ohio, and I was pulled over by an Ohio State trooper leaving the television station I was working for at that time, and I was speeding.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried to pull me over. I didn't pull over right away. I turned on my flashers. I turned on the inside light of my car.
Right.
And then I finally pulled over in a hairpin, and he was not happy because I kept driving for about a good mile.
Mm-hmm.
But on route, I think it was called 315 in Ohio, when I pulled over, it was a young guy, white guy, pulls me over. He didn't know who I was. He didn't know that I was a TV anchor.
Mm-hmm.
So that I didn't have that to protect me.
Right.
But he said, you know, why didn't you pull over? And I said, because there was no shoulder. And I said, just a couple of weeks ago, a Canadian mounted police officer, they ride motorcycles and cars too, mm-hmm. for those of you who don't know, he was killed making a traffic stop because he pulled somebody over and there was no shoulder and mm-hmm. he was hit. And when I said that, he just looked at me for a good 15 seconds and said nothing. And then he said, he calmed down, said license and registration. He sat in his car. He was in his car for 10 minutes or more. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? Well, he gave it back to me. And he said to me, you know, thanks for that consideration. He gave me my license and he said, where are you going? I said, I'm going home. Where are you coming from? I said, I'm coming from work. He said, take care of that license tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what do you mean? He said, your license is suspended.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, your license has been suspended. I had not known that I had come from another state
mm-hmm.
and missed a moving violation and my license had been suspended. So, you know, I could, at that point, my car could have been towed.
Yep.
I could have been arrested, but I was less than a mile from home. But, you know, again, you know, that was a good interaction. because, again, the thing that I was thinking was, there is no way I'm going to pull over and let this guy get hit by a car. Because it was in the news, it was a terrible crime.
Exactly.
That's what I was thinking about. I knew I was speeding.
And he appreciated your consideration, and that's
right,
what got
exactly.
you off.
So, that's one side. But I think the other side is that you do have officers who come at you with chips on their shoulders. You know, they may provoke you. So I think that this is a conversation... whether you have legislation like Councilmember Juwando's that may be on one side and, you know, positions like yours that mm-hmm. are on, you know, another side. But I think there may be some, there may be a happy medium as it relates to the legislation. But also, as you're saying, there needs to be some intensive training, whether it's being culturally competent or just... you know, just trying to just being more professional,
mm-hmm.
and if you're pulling somebody over for a light or fuzzy dice in the window, or you know what have you, yeah, they still have to be cautious. But if you take the license and registration, and everything's fine, you know, just tap on the door, fix your light, have a nice day.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, and that's really what we try to. Put across to a lot of people. I remember when I was working there at Montgomery County Bay back in the days of Disco and Dinosaurs, actually I was working in, and we actually had training about, here's the history that you don't know. Here's what you don't know. Here's why people look at you, because you had guys who honestly did not know, why do you hate me? Why do I go in a certain neighborhood and these guys hate me? They look at me like I've said something about their mother. Well, the thing is, you don't understand, there were a lot of police officers who did a lot of dirty things. I can remember my father and his friends. I mean, I can remember I knew these people as Mr. Fullwood, the old chiefs of police. I knew these people. Yeah, I knew
you're
these people.
Isaac Fullwood.
I knew these people, Mr. Fullwood, Mr. Curtis, Mr. Gibson, Mr. this, that, the other. But they were talking about how it was unfair to them. And when police officers realize it's unfair when they are in plain clothes. But the idea is, to change it, and that was what their argument was amongst each other, with themselves, is to change it, we have to work within that system to make sure everybody knows that we're not going to stand for this, that, the other, and police officers have to start holding people to those four words over top of the Supreme Court door, equal justice under law. And a lot of people forget that because they feel like it's easier to pick on people who don't look like them. It's easier to ostracize people that don't look like them. But no, what we're going to try to do is do it for everybody. And yeah, that means sometimes you do get some people a break. You say, okay, get out of here, don't do it again. You know, and don't let this happen again, and let that be the end of it. Now, some places have quota systems. And if you don't know what a quota system is, that's that you got to do so many tickets a night. So many this place, so many tickets and so many parking tickets, so many speeding tickets.
So here's my question about the quota system, because I know there was an issue, I think, in Bowie City, in the municipality years ago about a quota system. Why is there a quota system? Why, if you live in a city, is that about bringing in money?
Partially, yes. Old school system says, what are you doing out there? In other words, the old supervisors used to say, what are you doing out there? Prove me you're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, prove me you're doing something. For instance, if you have a burglary that happens, there's, at least in Montgomery County, there are three things you're supposed to do when you get a burglary. You're supposed to go in, do a home security survey, dust for fingerprints, and then do a neighborhood canvas.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't even realize you're supposed to do that. But when you say a home security survey, that means you go around that person's house that has just burglarized and tell them how they can avoid being burglarized again.
Right.
Then you throw some dust for some fingerprints,
mm-hmm.
you know, even if whether you have it or not. Send it up to tech, and then there's also you go in the neighborhood and say, somebody, your neighbor's house got broken into. Did you see anything? Chances are they do. Now, with rings and all that kind of stuff, that's an endorsement, I guess. You get mm-hmm. that. You can actually see these things happening now. But there are certain things you're supposed to do. That's what ties policemen up. And then they can't all do the traffic. But you do have traffic divisions that are right there. Once again, I don't know if the councilman knows it, but there are whole traffic divisions that dedicate themselves to... for people who violate the law in moving violations.
Yeah, yeah. And there are a lot of municipalities that had traffic divisions mm-hmm. within the police department. Yeah, understood. So mm-hmm. I appreciate you coming in. Obviously, this debate will continue. And I want to mention real quick, and I'm going to be posting this on our website tonight, you've got this Rites of Passage program, March 4th through April 29th, 10 consecutive Saturdays, is open to the public.
Free?
Yeah, for young black men.
And they're going to kill me if I don't mention it. There's also for young ladies.
Okay.
12 years of age and older. It's called STARS. That's an acronym, Striving Toward Adulthood Responsibly and Spiritually. And the same time, same date, show up at the same place, Galilee Baptist Church, 2101 Shadyside Avenue in Suitland, Maryland, and show up there about 9 o'clock. And I don't know what, I think they're going to be in room either 203 or 206.
Is there a website real quick? Because
I think that there is. It's part of the CDC, which is the Community Development Corporation.
I will make sure that, like, I post this information on there so that people will No, I really appreciate you coming in, Dr. Cornegay, Dr. Dimitri Cornegay. Also, we want to thank Councilmember Will Jawando for coming on the program and talking with us about this interesting conversation. And we will continue to mix it up and find out what happened. That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, March.